Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. For sticking with us, folks, here on a wonderful Saturday in Tucson and broadcasting around the world as far as that goes. I know we have streamers from hither and non. Welcome to the show here in the studio, Craig Mast and R.D. Castillo from Mastech Interstep. How are you two gentlemen today?
Good morning.
Good morning. Great. Thanks for having us.
Real pleasure. Let me introduce our two guests. Craig has over 30 years of experience in manufacturing, starting with the Liebert Corporation in Ohio, which became part of Emerson Electric, one of my alumni organizations, I might add. For 10 years, he acquired a foundation there in manufacturing materials, master planning, and scheduling before stepping into general management in sites that spanned Ohio, Delaware, and California. In 1992, Craig co-founded Interstep in San Jose as a contract manufacturing company to fund the development of a power supply for which patents had been filed. After 2 years, the strategy shifted, though, to contract manufacturing for customers. An expansion then unfolded to two locations in California, Austin, Boston, Phoenix, and Tucson, all sites of the cluster of electrical and electronic wherewithal. In 2003, the Tucson organization spun off, and Mastech Interstep was founded then with Craig and his wife, Kathy, at the helm. Ardia Castillo is a banker from early career experience with Wells Fargo for 10 years, following studies at the University of Arizona and the University of Phoenix. RD joined Mastech Interstep in 2008 as business development and customer service manager, where he founded as well the Tucson Supplier Partnership, a networking group of 12 manufacturing service companies. TSP is engaging startup companies and existing businesses with service providers to take their ideas from the napkin to full manufacturing. RD is also active with Junior Achievement, with hands-on banking and financial literacy programs. No surprise you get a chance to pull in all sorts of sectors in what you do, right, RD?
That's right. Yeah, we get to meet a lot of great people, get out in the community, and meet great companies that we can support.
That's right. And I gather, Craig, that that really is one of the core values for your firm, is that community engagement then.
Yeah, I think that, and along with the professional relationships we have with different regulations and our customer base. There's a broad customer base here in the Tucson area, and just being involved with all those and the change management that those organizations go through, and the organization ourselves that we have to manage to accomplish all those things. So
that's right. RD, tell us something about the products that you folks get involved in then in this whole from the napkin to the manufacturing side. What were some of the typical in the portfolio?
Oh, it's so diverse. And that's why my job is so fun, is because we get to see a lot of really interesting technologies that are being created here in the Tucson area regionally. We work with medical device companies building respiratory equipment to defense equipment that can help save lives out in the field. We also are getting ready to build some measurement equipment that uses light to test emissions. So very, very wide range of products that we get to see.
That's exciting. So Craig, could you explain that word contract manufacturing? People may not understand what that means.
Yeah, it's actually not a defined service. It is a service organization, but we basically build product for other companies, allowing them to focus on their own core competencies as far as marketing or development. So when not only do we manage change within our own organization, but we're always trying to focus ourselves in a way that we can help other companies that are just being formed or going through change, and how we can absorb the manufacturing side of their business and allow them to focus on whether it's marketing or R&D.
Right. So sort of the ideation side, that you folks can step into that gap to them being able to focus then on the marketing, sales, and service of it then at the end.
Exactly. And a lot of it has to do also where they're at maybe in their product life cycles. If it's a new startup and they want to focus on product development or the marketing of their product, then we're able to take that whole manufacturing spectrum of whether it's material side, the manufacturing side, the quality side, and carve that out from their focus and allow them to focus on their own key competencies. Larger companies may have products that have a product life cycle that they're becoming legacy products, mm-hmm. where they're phasing those products out, and they do not fit into their normal manufacturing processes.
Particularly volume considerations, right?
So if you kind of look at it on a bell curve, we kind of focus on the front end mm-hmm. and on the back end of product life cycles, and then support the manufacturing growth and the changes, the ECN engineering changes that are required to, you know, continue to grow different products and allow them to manage all those peripheral activities.
So RD, when you get a call from a customer, not so much you calling them, are those sort of one of these, oh my gosh, we just got an order for 50 of these and we can't remember how we did this before, or we don't have the tools, or what's the nature of the cycle, the type of new business development you do for your clients?
I don't get too many phone calls.
Okay.
A lot of what I've been doing is going out into the community and turning rocks and just kind of sourcing our own leads.
I see. Yeah.
And also belonging to networking organizations and just getting to know the right types of companies that fit within the services that we provide. So it's going out to companies that I know may be developing something new mm-hmm. and going in and saying, you're building 50 of one thing, but you want to start developing one or two of something else. Maybe we could take on that project for you first and then kind of build and expand on that and help them with getting that up and running and getting some prototypes assembled for them. And then hopefully then developing that relationship into building higher volumes and helping them when they get into the production mode.
So for any of our listeners who aren't part of this world, as of course I'm a dangerous interviewer here since this is my lifeblood as well, having grown up in engineering and manufacturing, the key is when someone's coming up with a new design to get not just a on the drafting board or on the tube look at something, but you want to build quickly as possible a proof of concept, then ultimately a prototype that you can vet your manufacturing capability, then source it with real components and do a pilot and then full production. So what the contract manufacturing firm, right, Craig, is that you spotted from your years of manufacturing, oh, here's a niche we can go into and provide broader bandwidth for some of our customers.
Right, and I think it also, just outside of taking a concept and bringing it to reality, there's also the peripheral activities such as agency approvals, mm-hmm. whether it's FAA or FDA or medical versus aeronautics, and the process of getting approvals through all that. So it's not as simple sometimes as just taking it off paper and making it a reality, but there's also peripheral agencies that require certifications and other things along that line.
And there's nothing
to control
more
it.
Relieving for a startup company if they can partner with an experienced firm like yours that's run that rodeo countless times with other customers.
Yeah, rodeo is a really good term.
Yeah, because it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's, but it's so interesting because when you think about what we actually do, the mechanics of manufacturing are very similar no matter who our customer base is mm-hmm. or what the product is. We control, you know, three or four key processes within our facility, but we have this whole spectrum of products in all different types of industries that use those processes. So there's nothing really exciting about the processes that we use. But the end outcome and the diversity of the customers, that's where the real excitement is.
I would think also from the customer standpoint, though, what's important is the ease, the grace, and the speed at which you can deploy your expertise to help them through things.
That's right. And that's why I would say about 90-95% of our customers are in the Tucson area. And that's because our niche is in lower volume and prototype assembly, orchestrating the customer to engineering support, mm-hmm. product support, design for manufacturability feedback, and all of that happening within this community is easy. It makes it easier for the customer, and we've won several contracts because of our close proximity to the customer.
I was going to say, you're there.
We're right there. Their engineers can come in, they can guide us through the process, especially if it's a very complex mm-hmm. assembly. They can help us with with testing their products, and especially if a company has held on to their product for so long and they've been historically building it in-house, and now they decide they want to start outsourcing that. There's a lot of transition, a lot of kind of tribal knowledge that companies have. That,
not only outsource it, they just want to move it to a different part of the plant. Suddenly forgot George, who has a special tool that he keeps in the second drawer, and we didn't document it. In fact, I would think, Craig, that isn't that one of the biggest challenges, though, about being a contract manufacturing? Because to be effective, you know, as the OEM to outsource, that means I really know my specifications, really got my documentation locked and loaded so I can turn it over to a firm. But that doesn't always happen, is it? I'm seeing RD is like, yeah, right.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. We have certifications in-house that have proven out our processes to manage change, incorporate change, make changes on the fly to products, feedback to our customers as far as design for manufacturability. And those disciplines and those processes have really expedited our capabilities to kind of run on the fly, because we service probably 60 to 70 customers a year on a regular basis, and on any given month we're probably shipping to 30 to 40 customers. And all of those customers all the time are either making changes to their product or adding new products or obsoleting products, or even on the supplier side where parts no longer become available. And the market drives changes because of the unavailability of components.
Which a lot of people don't understand. When a component isn't available, it isn't necessarily a drag and click and drop another one in, because that design may have morphed entirely around that specific component that now you can't go buy anywhere.
Yeah, that's correct. And those are the challenges that we run into. And that takes a real partnership with our customer base to communicate that back effectively, be able to react to it. And at the same time, they have responsibilities for supporting us in those changes to make sure that their products continue to function correctly.
That's great. We've got Craig Mast here and R.D. Castillo in the studio from MasTec Interstep. Craig, tell us, there are just over 30 employees as part of the organization. What's the makeup of the base of the employees?
Yeah, we have 32 employees right now. It covers pretty much all aspects of manufacturing. We have a real strong purchasing and materials management group. You can imagine with 60 customers and 60 different bases of part numbers and 60 different customers with different bill of materials, that can be.
And different systems that the bill of materials are run in, right?
Exactly. We also have a strong customer service group, which is part of RD's business and development efforts. Our quality department, which supports not only incoming inspection of components and as part of our receiving and materials process, but obviously through the manufacturing process of making sure the product is to specifications. The manufacturing group really focuses on three main elements of manufacturing. One is the electronic side, which includes printed circuit boards and assembly in that area. Another area is cable and harnessing, which usually is incorporated then into the final stage, which is the full electromechanical build of the product, which is mostly the packaging of the electronics and the cabling and harnessing into a finalized product. And then the final step, of course, is the test and verification of those products for the customer.
Well, that's great. RD, I mentioned in the introduction that you were instrumental in starting the Tucson Supplier Partnership and getting a collection of you companies that are in this space together. What's been some of the outcomes of that partnership? Other than everybody can close the door and say, oh, you've got that problem too, huh?
Yeah. And this group was formed. I formed this group in 2009 when the economy was really taking a dive. And we were really feeling it at MasTec. And so I needed another way of getting out and doing some business development. We had lost some customers that were pretty high revenue generators for us, and those companies didn't exist anymore. I was having to go out and find 10, 15, 20 new customers to replace the revenues of one or two big ones that went out. So I got a group together of frankly suppliers that I liked doing business with and that our company liked doing business with, and they're all non-competing companies, and so we huddle up in a room once a month and we share contacts. We help each other get into doors. So that's one phase of it, the networking part of it. But then we also exist to let people know about the services that are available to them in Tucson, about manufacturing services available in Tucson.
Which, of course, is quintessential if we look at economic development opportunities to bring additional companies to Tucson,
right,
or even bandwidth to expand the ones that are here.
That's right. Too often I've heard of companies saying that they needed to go outside of Tucson or outside of the state to get their products built or to get raw material created, and that's not necessarily the case. And so a lot of it is education. We also try to bring in prospects and customers into our monthly meetings just so that they can introduce each other to what the services are.
Absolutely.
In town. And then that person can go off and say, well, I want to generate a plastic box, or I want a metal box, or you know, I want it painted this color or that color, or I want it packaged a certain way, or I need some help in engineering, I need help in marketing, and we can help them with all of those
areas.
That idea of
network making those connections.
Yeah.
You know, and Craig and I know as well, of course, Mastec Interstep is a member of the Arizona Technology Council, and you're a member of the CEO group specifically. How has that affiliation helped you personally as a leader as well as your firm?
I think there's two sides of that. There's the networking, business development side that has been really successful. The Arizona Tech Council does a really good job of networking the different companies in the area. They hold special events on a regular basis, whether they happen to be a lunch and learn that people are invited to, or they rotate facilities on a monthly basis and have after five gatherings that you can host in your company. So it's been a really effective business development networking tool for us.
And of course, the after fives are fun because you can go into everybody's playgrounds and their factories.
Yeah, and you know, you get to see you know, the same group a lot, but at the same time you get introduced to a lot of new people.
Well, the other thing about the after fives is that the decision makers are there.
Yeah,
so right. As a business development person, I've had to really pick and choose what affiliations we have. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not best for our business if I'm going into a room with people who are insurance agents or selling greeting cards or, you know, bankers, you know, things like that. Those may help us, you know, down the line, but I'm really wanting to talk to the decision makers of companies that are manufacturing products. Engineers.
And in the tech space,
CEOs.
and also get a sense of what's the possibility, what's coming that's new.
Yeah, and I think that's the other key area of it, is there's a lot of relationships between some of the startup and entrepreneurial type agencies within Tucson, and whether it be connected to the University of Arizona or just incubators that are creating, you know, a format for starting up new companies. And it gives us a really good opportunity to get on the ground floor of their decision making, and where we may, you know, be able to influence the fact that they really don't want to get into manufacturing. It'd be much easier for them to focus on what they want to do, and we create opportunities that way. So I think the Tech Council, along with all the organizations that have focused on taking technology and developing small companies and startup situations, that whole network is just really key to the market that we've focused on.
That's wonderful.
And those relationships.
For our professionals that are listening in, of course, the joy to come into an organization that has 30 plus employees, vis-a-vis perhaps earlier career experience with hundreds of employees and, you know, departments that are segmented and perhaps scattered across the country. That's one part of the joy of the job, isn't it, RD, the fact that you've really got a team, that there's not a whole lot of Slack resources. You've got to interface and collaborate together, but the learning that must go on.
The learning, and also, you know, Mastec has a real mom and pop feel to it, a small business, limited employees, we're all great friends, and you also get a sense of ownership, you feel like you have a lot more control over things. We've written policies and procedures from the ground up, mm-hmm. which is something that I would have never been able to do in a larger commercial setting. And so I feel like I have more autonomy to put processes and procedures in place and set up a lot of things that I want to see in customer service or in quality. I feel like I have more control over that in a small business versus a large commercial setting.
Right. And this said by a man who lived in the banking world that is quintessential in the policies and procedures side. That's wonderful to see
that
come out. Craig, as a CEO, what keeps you up at night the most right now?
Change. Yeah. I mean, like in any corporation, it's interesting listening to your two previous sessions and the focus constantly on change, whether it's an organizational change, whether it's a regulatory change, whether our customers are going through changes and the impacts that have on us, the industry itself, the economy, and our supplier base, you know, as they change and make changes.
Because I think that's a real core one to not overlook, is that any company that's involved in an end product delivery, that really your suppliers are an extension of you, just as much you as a contract manufacturing company are extension of your clients that you're servicing.
Yeah, that's true. And it's just a full circle relationship there. And any change in any of those elements, you know, are enough to, it may not keep me up all night, but
but it also gives you a tremendous amount of peace, too. Then one of them gets a big deal, and then that's going to ripple in a positive way through the community that you're all building.
And I think that
keeps me up at night.
That keeps you up at night. Exactly right.
But it's also an interesting relationship in the Tucson Supplier Partnership, because the ability to take a startup company and have them sit in front of all those different type of services.
Right out of the chute.
And have them, all those thoughts go through their head before they get their product out there, is a real positive. So
yeah, that's great. Well, thank you very much for joining us, gentlemen. Again, to learn more about what Craig and RD are committed to do with their organization at MasTech Interstep, indeed, is www.mastek-interstep.com. You can learn about their product, services, and the technologies they're involved in. Thanks so much for joining us, and also, of course, the opportunity to support the Arizona Technology Council and how you're helping Greater Tucson and its economic development is so important to us.
Well, thanks for having us, Dr. Larson. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Zara.
You bet. My pleasure. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.